But Willow is what it is because of its senior leadership. See? Okay, some more comments or questions? I want to, yeah.
I think what I've been noticing is that the purpose is to draw people into community, not necessarily a community, but a community. And to do that, there's a cause that has to be lived out. So the community is really what people, everyone wants to belong.
Yeah.
It's that which attracts, but it's for the purpose of. And what I'm catching is that we're in community for purpose.
Right.
By the word, devotion, outreach, evangelism. So it seems like cause is bigger, although I think the whole purpose is for community itself.
That's right. See, I think biblically all three serve each other. And in the more healthy a church is, the more those three circles will feed each other. The cause will feed the community. The corporation will balance the two, for example. So in a healthy church, they ought to all be working well together. In a church where the cause is too big and the community is too small, you really do feel like a used person. You feel like you are expendable for the cause. And in the body of Christ, you should never feel expendable in that sense. In a church that's too big on community, you never feel expendable. Of course, you also never feel like you really play a strategic part in something bigger than yourself.
This helps me understand what one of your young ladies as a volunteer was telling me in a conversation at lunch. I remarked that I was surprised to find you only had 1,600 members, and that's because you sign up and so forth. And she said, I feel guilty because I've signed up as a member for this year, and I'm supposed to come to midweek services. I'm a single mother. I have an 8-year-old boy. I can't afford a babysitter. I can't keep him out till 10:30 at night, school nights. And she said, I feel guilty all the time about it.
Wow.
And I said, well, you know, why don't y'all do something about your Wednesday night? You don't have anything for...
Above 5-year-olds.
Yeah. She said, will you please mention that?
Thank you.
Yeah. So what do you... Isn't it frustrating for families with little kids?
Little kids, but at the new community, we provide ministry to children up through, is it 5 years old?
Yeah.
Up through 5 years old.
I'm in school year. You know, our people have a problem staying till 8:15 on Sunday, on Wednesday nights.
Right.
Because it's a school night.
But you bring the kids, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, see, we don't. I wouldn't want my daughter, who's in third grade, coming out on Wednesday night.
Well, how do they learn then to attend worship?
Okay, we could have a wonderful philosophical discussion about how children actually become mentored into worshipers. And my personal conviction is that they don't become mentored into being fully developed worshipers by sitting bored out of their socks in... Okay.
Going with family. Going, mom and dad are going. It's important.
Right. We just need an extended discussion about how kids get mentored into being full worshipers. Our view here is that that's not primarily by taking them to a service that isn't designed for them. Although many people would bring their school-age kids as well to worship. At this point, my third-grade daughter, I think, develops a bad taste of worship when she comes. Not a good taste. Because it's just not geared to a third grader. It's geared to an adult. So what many parents do is they say, now you come and here's a coloring book. And you sit and color or do your homework, work on your spelling words, and watch the parents sing and then listen, in her case, listen to dad, who she finds me boring. I don't want my kid to be bored with me, you know, so she sits there and listens to me teach, and it's irrelevant to her. I think that sends a bad message to a kid about what worship is. And I think when they get older, they do that. Then they doodle on the bulletin, you know, and they play hangman, you know, and all that stuff. So it's an issue.
So both parents can't come, or you have to...
Many parents in our church do. They get babysitters. We get babysitters. So it's a regular night for us. We have a contracted babysitter who shows up every Wednesday night. Now, ours is a little different because I've got to be out both new communities, but generally speaking, that's the way we do it.
I also think when you have the chorus too strong and you have not enough community dinner, but a lot of casualties.
That's true.
And you have people falling by the wayside, wounded in the battle, and there's no one to care and minister to them, and they're hurting.
That's really true. When the cause is too strong, you get a lot of casualties, and there are no MASH units. Good causes, good militaries have good MASH units, which should be like a mobile army spiritual hospital that comes along and adequately takes care of the wounded. That shows that you've got enough community aspect to rebandage people to equip them to be soldiers again. Yeah.
Seems like a difficulty is that community people think they're doing the right thing, cause people think they're doing the right thing, and they have a hard time. You know, I'm a cause person. I mean, reaching the world is a goal, and that's what Christ set out before us. So I can see the value of community, but I think we all need to be focused on the cause. You know, right. Community serves the purpose of the cause,
yeah.
Which I guess eventually serves the purpose of the community. But somehow there has to be able to reach a balance so that you have people who are strong in all these different areas coming together, but they need to learn to respect each other. And I'm wondering, you've probably come across that here, and how have you learned to deal with people who are just... Their way is the right way.
One of the things that's a core value here is supporting and cheerleading and accentuating differentness for the purpose of complementing one another. So the way we handle the tension between those who are very cause-oriented, those who are very corporate-oriented, those who are very community-oriented in its finest form is that we try to celebrate that differentness in the relationships that exist. And understand, see, I have a natural bent towards community. But I know myself well enough to know that if somebody isn't taking care of the corporate side of what I do, I'm eventually going to be in deep trouble. So I celebrate corporate-oriented people. I know myself well enough to know that I need them. And that dynamic is what makes the body of Christ wonderful. You know, it's just another view of 1 Corinthians 12, and everybody, the eye cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. The foot can't say to the eye, you don't need me. Everybody needs everybody, and that keeps the tension dynamic. Yeah.
The information that has been disseminated over the course of the evening has been incredibly interesting, although coming from the business world, really nothing new in the business side of it. And I guess the question I would have is why the church hasn't gotten the message that's been there all along. I mean, the church is being operated like a third world country. I mean, nothing is new, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's new to the church.
Right. The question is, why hasn't the church picked up, made itself aware of the information that's been in the marketplace sector for years? I think the answer is that most churches are run by clerics who are trained in seminaries, who have, by and large, vulnerable or tender self-images, who are terribly threatened by people in the marketplace. And therefore, they don't view marketplace expertise as an ally to further the cause of the community. They view it as a threat to their bastion of power and influence.
You want the real tough follow-up question? Why would Christ let that happen to his church?
Well, because Christ allows for free will.
Yeah. But I mean,
it happens in the corporate sector too.
Exactly, the same thing. It spins around on all of them. But I think the implication is, and I'm going to talk about this in the next session where we talk about our internship program here, I personally think that the leadership for the cutting edge of the church of the 21st century is probably not going to come out of the seminaries, it's going to come out of the marketplace. Because it's easier to take a marketplace person who's been radically transformed by Christ and mentor them into a theologically stable person who thinks strategically than it is to take somebody who was raised in a Christian ghetto and pedigreed through the Christian system, and try to make them cause and corporate-oriented. It's just a very difficult sell to do. It's not new. It's been around a long time, hasn't it? And that's why, one of the things that's unique about Willow Creek is the lack of formalized theological and ecclesiastical education amongst its leaders. Out of the management team, there are seven of us on the management team, who are the staff equivalent of those who run the church. Only two of us have graduate degrees in theology. Five do not. And we are very suspect. I'm dead serious, you know. I had to prove that I had not been so impacted by graduate school in theology that I couldn't be relevant.
What one book would summarize? Is there a book on the market right now from a Christian perspective that would deal with this community cause of
liberation? No, but do you think there should be? No, there's no book out in the market currently that deals with this, but there will be someday. Because I know one of you guys is dying to write a book, and you'll take this, write a book. Just all I ask is just say, I was at a seminar once, and I heard some guy mention it. That's all I ask.
The definition of corporate and a separate definition of community, it sounds like the definition of corporate is more American corporate, because the Japanese corporate is much more community.
Yeah.
And actually, where American corporate isn't working, is now they're looking to the human resource development function in the corporation as an employee assistance program that can help develop the sense of community in a corporation. So I don't know that it's necessarily always wise corporately to fire somebody rather than to work with somebody.
I think you're absolutely right. I think what you're saying is that this paradigm is a true truth of life, not just the church. Any healthy, functioning, organized organism will respect the tension between those three circles. So that the most effective corporations in America today understand the community dynamic and the cause component. Corporations that, kill the community aspect and say to their employees, we don't give a darn about the fact you've got children. We're not going to provide in-house daycare. We'll not be the corporations of the 21st century, see? Because they're not sensitive to the fact that all organized organisms that have effective lifespans balance those three tensions. The church needs to, too. I don't think it's purely a biblical paradigm, in other words.
So the community-oriented person board of directors, dealing with corporate decisions, can't be intimidated by the corporate side that says fire him, let's do it, that's task-oriented, and I'm sure that that's the mentality of a lot of corporations. That's why the human resource function is only now starting to grow.
I'd agree with you 100%. In other words, this book can be written from the church standpoint, or it can be a good book from the corporation standpoint, too. It'll work. That the sword will cut both ways. Got about a minute. We stop at 20 after, is that correct? About a minute?
I guess I would just have a comment. I think one of the points that we need to keep in focus is that Willow Creek is successful not necessarily because of leadership, but because the leadership is being faithful to the
Great
Commission.
Right.
And God will always bear fruit and bless people and organizations that are obedient to Him. So I think that's what we're seeing here, is that as folks have been faithful and obedient to the commission, the Lord blesses.
That's absolutely true. He's saying, you know, it's not the leadership, it's the fact that the leadership has been faithful and therefore God is blessed. And, you know, I would go a step beyond that. I think part of Willow Creek's quote-unquote success, if you define that in the right term, is actually beyond, maybe significantly beyond, God blessing faithful leaders. There's a dimension to what is here that is simply God choosing to invade space-time history at this place in this way in a totally unexplainable thing. In other words, it's not a one-to-one correspondence. Leaders are faithful, therefore you get this blessing. Because come on, this room is filled with men and women who are faithful, who don't have this. There is some serendipitous encounter of the Holy Spirit in space-time history that is here that is unexplainable by faithfulness even. Now, a couple of implications down at the bottom. Number one, understand your personal organizational tendencies. The organization that you're in, how would you draw the circles of your church? Draw them and have a good discussion sometime. Number two, understand your personal natural inclination. And as we've been talking here, learn to celebrate the differentness of those around you. by applying this to your leadership style. And I'd say this, support your weak areas. If you tend to be very corporate oriented, make sure that you affirm your spouse's community drivenness rather than continuing to tell them they're ineffective. That's inefficient, honey, to waste all that money on that Valentine's Day present. I believe in relationships within the organization, it's very helpful to constantly clarify which circle you're operating out of. The buzzword around here for a while was, what hat do you have on? You talking to me as a brother, sister? You talking to me as a, you know, employer, employee? Are you talking to me in the... Which hat are you functioning out? That's very helpful. And then lastly, be careful not to manipulate people by changing hats to get what you want from them. And I wish I had time to explode that for you, but that's a big implication. Well, have a wonderful afternoon. Good seeing you.
Thank you. Very good.
Good.